please. Romans chapter 12. Now, I'm going to ask something that you'll need to actually think through and answer. Does everybody have a bulletin like this? Mike, where's Mike at? Mike, everybody look up here. If you do not have a bulletin like this, just raise your hand and Mike will get you a bulletin. Everybody needs a bulletin this morning. Not for religious purposes. So raise your hand if you do not have a bulletin, please. On the back side of the bulletin is what I'm going to preach on this morning. So you can follow along with the basic ideas. All right, everybody else got a bulletin. Let's stand, please. We're going to read Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. This morning's message is a meditation. I will tell you, this is the most, confrontational sermon I will ever preach in my 27 years at Lake County. But please look me in the eyes, but you won't recognize it because I'm going to be humorous through the whole sermon. I'm going to deal with one of the fundamental flaws of humanity. Did you notice the title of the sermon? Are you getting better at being better than others? I have found a universal problem among people. No matter where you go, no matter what country, no matter what area, you're better, look up here, you're better than those people down there, up there, over there, next door. Everybody thinks they're better than everybody else. I can't fix this, but I can present to you the scripture. If you're a Christian, you'll want to hear. If you're not a Christian, you'll continue to feel you're better than everybody else. I said this. Everybody thinks they're better than everybody else. That's the weirdest thing of it all. And the people that will protest under their breath most loudly right now is the group I'm talking to. Everybody feels this way. Let's read Romans 12, verse 3, which is an extremely helpful verse for you to memorize. Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man is not there, every individual that is among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think." But here's our problem. We go from thinking highly because we're arrogant to thinking we're a zero because we're arrogant, and both of them miss the scripture. He says not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think what? Soberly. According as God hath dealt to every man and woman the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. He's going to say some other things. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned. That is having a disposition towards other people of treating them like family and the love that you would have within a family. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Actually, three different expressions of love in one Greek text. He goes on to say, in honor, preferring one another. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Folks, I think that means this. You ought to look at people. Look up here. When you see someone, you should not do this, and you should not do this. You should do this. They're human? Yes or no? If they're an American, they're an American. If they're a Christian, they're a Christian. You don't look down on people. You don't look up to people. You look at be of the same mind one to another. I think it's what it means. mind not high things, nor condescend. Bring yourself down, and we use the word condescend in a different way today. Bring yourself down to men that are of low estate, humble means. Be not wise in your own conceits. I'm going to preach on, it's not really a sermon, but I've given you the points because I would like for the Christians, again, if you're not a Christian, this won't mean much, but if you're a Christian, this will become your meditation for a while. Because I am 65, I have been in a couple places, and I have yet to meet a group of people that don't think they're better than the other group of people, even in the way they talk about the other group of people. Oh yeah, those people up there, those people down there, those people over there. It's unbelievable how we speak to people. Because you say, are you arrogant? I've actually had people tell me I'm arrogant. Can I tell you this? I am, and so are you. That's what we're addressing. Let's pray. Father, help me this morning. Help me to be a help. That's my desire, 100%. But this gets under the skin. This gets to places we don't want anything to get to. This gets to our own arrogance and our own need to think we're better than others. Help me to just be a help. That's the whole point of this text. Help all of us, including me, to learn this over and over. Deeper and deeper, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have the title and the bullet points. You can write verses or anything you would like underneath. My sermon this morning, besides it coming from Romans 12, comes from a couple of different interactions I have had in a period of the last. One of them happened in the Philippines. It's happened twice in the Philippines. Another one happened probably 30 years ago, but it happened again about a year and a half ago. So I'm in the Philippines. And you ever have somebody ask you a weird question? Person came up to me and just asked me. I'm teaching the pastors. Person asked me, but they asked me out of sincerity. They asked a question like this. Do you feel you're better than those pastors? Can I honestly say I never... Do I feel I'm better than those pastors? I've had that question answered twice, asked twice. Now I'm going to flip a different... You understand the question, yes or no? Can I ask you a question? Do you know you have a problem with this? Now this happened 30 years ago. My wife might remember... A couple in our church came. What are their names? Bob and Cheryl. Is that their name? Cheryl? Not Cheryl. Bob and Lynn. Yes. They come to me and they said, Pastor Warren, my cousin has died. Would you be willing to do the funeral for my cousin? By the way, if I'm a pastor, part of what you want to be, you don't understand, the hardest thing I did yesterday wasn't going to the funeral. The hardest thing I did is not doing Rhoda's funeral, mother. It's part of our church. You know, I'm the pastor. It's hard for me not to, that's hard for me. I don't really like funerals. I like funerals better than weddings. They're kind of the same, actually, but anyhow, Bob and Lynn said, would you do my cousin's funeral? And I said, of course. I didn't know the cousin. And I remember when Bob told me, he said, we're paying for the funeral. By the way, the first time you hear that a cousin's paying for a cousin's funeral, things aren't good. He said, the man is not a very nice man. Oh, I got to do a funeral for one of those. He says, I'm not even sure the family will be there. It was one of the few funerals I've ever asked this question. And by the way, I am persistent in some areas. I go to the family members and I say, each one individually, please tell me stories, good stories about. I had zero good stories. One of the children didn't attend the funeral. One of the children sat in the back of the funeral. And one of the children, I think, was drunk. But that wasn't the problem. He was an evil man. He was abusive, hateful, and a drunk his whole life. But that wasn't the problem. When I showed up at the funeral, there were about 20 people there. His friends from the tavern. I wrote things down. I tried to be polite. I do know how to do that. I tried to be respectful, kind. I tried to treat everybody with dignity and respect. But as I walked into this small group of people, you could feel the ripples of emotions of arrogance. I mean, it was like somebody was steam pressuring arrogance right at me. I could feel the arrogance. Every single person there, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, they were his friends from the tavern. These are guys, most of them had a hard time making a living and holding a job. But they, every one of these males thought they were superior to me. In fact, they believed they were superior to anyone who had ever lived. They were smarter than Einstein, faster than Usain Bolt, better at basketball than number 23, Michael Jordan. They could teach Tom Brady how to be a quarterback. They were stronger than Superman, and they were Michael Phelps' mentors at swimming. And when I walked in the room, it was like, and so the moment I left that room, arrogance rippling, and then I'm thinking, why are they arrogant? I'm not trying to be cruel. Most of these men didn't have teeth. These were drunks their whole life. Then it dawned on me, most people think they're better, no matter who they are. I'm better than you. Now, the problem is when this starts rippling into a church. And frankly, people that think they're better than others usually aren't better than others. But my bigger problem is we all think that. Some of us aren't very clever at hiding it. Let's look in your notes. I'm going to give you, by the way, I stumble when the person asks me the question. I'm like, do I think I'm what? Better than? I never thought about thinking I'm better than these pastors. So I'm going to give you my thoughts that I wrote down. Most of these that day in the Philippines that come, then I kind of connected it to Romans 12 because it deals with it. Number one, certainly not better than others. I think it is safe to believe that I or you am not better than anyone else. Never. I have heard this statement, he's arrogant. So I'm going to look around the room for an arrogant person. Let me see who is really arrogant in this room. Me. If you ask me, are you arrogant? Yes. And so are you. But the problem is we're not better than others. Because we're all arrogant in our own ways, and we, folks, it's just something about our sinful human nature that we think we're better than other people. Have you ever talked to people from Texas? You think America was Texas. You're like, but then you talk to somebody, it's just amazing, all of the prejudices and all of this arrogance that floats around. So my first thought is, when I talk to this person asked me the question, my first thought was, well, certainly not better than others. I never thought of myself being better than the pastors I'm teaching. Now, by the way, I'm not going to stop here. You have to understand, we're going to deal with the scripture. Look at me, friend. We're going to deal with the concept because it's an important concept for you to... Can I say this? Some of us need to stop lying to ourselves. Because there's a two-sided to this. I'll get to the second part in a moment. Certainly not better than others. If you were asked me what I'm good at, well, Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I'm pretty good at sinning, pretty good at failing, pretty good at struggling, pretty good at being blind to myself. I'm pretty good at being imperfect. I'm very good at having human limitations. I mean, I think that's who I am. Paul says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So, friends, in one sense, we're all exactly at the same place. We're sinful people. We're fallen people. We're weak people. We're people in need of Christ. We're in need of redemption. So to have the attitude that I'm just better than other people And holding on to it deliberately kind of is a you're repudiating the very gospel you say you believe. The only thing I'm better at than you and better than you at maybe is sin. I'm real good at that. I'm pretty good at struggling. Paul writes in Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we would." There's always, yes, I'm good at sinning, failing, struggling, being blind to myself, imperfect, having human limitations. I'm good at all of that. That was my first answer. Are you comfortable? Look at me. Do I think I'm better than you? Well, now we come to the part that you see, here's our problem. The very arrogance that we have will either cause us to feel arrogant or it cause us to feel like we're a zero, but they're both the same game. I still am thinking about me, thinking about where I fit in. So we're going to go to the second level, and I hope you grasp it, because this is what I replied to the person. When the person looked at the pastor and said, "Do you think that you're or feel that you're better than the pastors?" It took me a bumbling and stumbling. And then I said, "Well, certainly not better than them. But number two, probably," did I say probably? "Better at some things than them." Is that a fair statement? See, our problem is we equate these two concepts. So here we are. We are so arrogant because I can do something you can't do. Folks, yes, to honestly assess yourself, some of you in this room are much better at things than I am, and I am better at some other things than you. That's kind of called being a Christian. So let's look at text. If you want to write text, Romans 12, verse 3. Would you look at it, please? Romans 12, verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me." Even Paul is acknowledging that he has something, but it was something he received of the Lord. We'll pick up on that later. "To every individual, man, woman, that is among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think, but to think," what's the word? Look at me, friends, you should know exactly who. If you are an adult, you should know look, you should know exactly who you are. You should know your abilities. You should know your lack of abilities. You should know your personality. You should know your history. You should soberly evaluate yourself. He says, think soberly about yourself. In what way? "According as God has dealt to every individual the measure of faith." Verse 6, "Having then the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." So when the person asked me, this is where I started. My first, after bumbling, I said, "Well, certainly not better than, but probably better at some things." Yes. You say, what does this mean? Well, I'll explain it and then I'll illustrate it. I'm better at, when I say I'm better at some things, all that does is recognize God's gifts. Hello? Recognizes God's gifts. It acknowledges our God-given abilities, training, education. God has gifted us. And, it, you know, I've had the privilege of doing education, reading books, studying. I have that passion. But that recognizes God's gift. It acknowledges our God-givenness. And it knows what we are good at, but it also knows what we're not good at. So when you ask me, am I better than? No, but I'm better at some things. We don't underestimate our God-given ability. By the way, friend, for you, you know, I heard my daughter sing. She has a lovely voice. She's trained. She's worked. She's practiced. She took classes or voice lessons in school. I love to hear her sing. Is she better at that than me? The answer is 100%. Nobody wants to hear me sing. She has a lovely voice. She's better at it. She's had some gifting. She's had some training. She's had some passion that comes from God to pursue. All of that's beautiful. That's just a given. We don't underestimate ourselves. We don't overestimate ourselves. We look at ourselves soberly. God has made us different. He's given us different gifts, and he gives different gifts to other people. So when I look at the pastors, certainly not better than them, as in implying morally or godly, but maybe better at some things, yes. Somebody asked me this question in the last 2 weeks. Was it Bambi? I don't know. And I don't know why they asked me the question. They were asking a question about something we needed to do on buildings. There's a little bit left to do on the buildings out here, and they asked me this philosophical question. What color do you think we should put on those buildings? And I remember, look, whoever asked me, I'm like, do you know who you're asking? Folks, I wear a white shirt. Do you know where I wear it? Ade, what color is your shirt? Blue. Okay. You didn't get the point. I don't know. You know the reason I wear a white shirt? Because when I buy suits, I buy 2 to 3 ties that go with the suits, and I only wear because I can't tell colors. So, Ade, you're very handsome today, as always, especially when Linda's in town, but I'm being serious. I don't wear different color shirts because I'd put them with the wrong suits, and I would come here looking like an idiot. Are you better at colors than me? Well, just about everybody's better at colors than me. It's a God-given thing. I didn't choose it. Sometimes I wish I could see colors. Yes, I might be better at some things, and he or she might be better at other things. Some people are far better than me. Some people have abilities in all kinds of areas, and I thank God for them. I'm going to say something about Pastor Kowalk. He deserves it. My first statement is, Jennifer, just go ahead and say amen ahead of time. He's weird. Do you know he is weird in math? I don't know if he's the best math, because we got a lot of smart math people in this room, but he's weird in elements of math. Three-dimensional, geometrical, puzzle-solving. I used to buy him stuff. But I quit buying him anything because he would figure it out when I handed it to him. Before I left the room, he'd already figured it out. It's like years ago, Cliffy, I was in Japan with you guys. And I don't remember if it seemed like, Cliffy, you weren't with me. It was Judy and I and maybe someone else. We went to some place where they had Japanese puzzle boxes. Now, Japanese puzzle boxes are interesting. And you can get really cheapy ones and you can get ones that I couldn't afford. I wanted to find something for this guy I don't like that it would take him longer than 3 minutes to solve. So I got a medium, you know, nice size, real nice, had a lot of moving. You know, I couldn't figure it out. I bought a brand new one, and on top, for dumb people like me, they have the instructions. So if you can't figure it out, you can read the instructions. So I still remember, you know it's true. I brought it into his office. I said I had a gift for him. He smiled because he likes stuff like that. He's weird. I said, well, let me take the instructions, and I'll get the, because it was instructions were in a little cellophane, so I'll rip that, you know, get that open while you try to look at the puzzle box. Hand him the puzzle box. I'm getting this thing open. I look over there. He's already solved the puzzle box. I haven't even gotten the directions open. Can I ask you a question? Do you know that people are better at things than you? See this mean woman right over here. Everybody look. Don't you ever get into a word-solving problem thing with her. I remember from the 1970s, sometime, Jenny, remember we used to do those gatherings with our age group, and she would do word puzzles. Oh, she would there would be 20 problems. She'd have them done, take a nap, eat lunch, and I'm still looking at the third puzzle. By the way, we're better at some things than others. I look at An back there. I remember An squatting. You can still do that, can't you? I can do that too. I just can't get up once I get down. I would need a crane to get me up. But you can not only do it, but you can do it and just stay there like it's okay. For me, that would be like call 911 quickly. Friends, look at me. Can I ask you a question? Are you actually getting past the humor to yourself? Are you better than others? Answer the question. Not one bit. Not one bit morally. Are you better at some things? Well, of course, that just acknowledges what? God gives us different gifts, gives us different personalities, gives us different abilities. Some of us can organize. By the way, I love Sparky. She's back here. If I want something organized, I come right past Sparky. If I want something created, I go right to Sparky. Do you understand that we're different? So to say, am I better than? No, I'm not better than them as people, as Christians. I am better at some things, sure. Well, we go to the third. Is everybody with me? Is this simple? Yeah, but here's the thing. If I went up to a person and said, I really appreciated your music. Oh, why do we do that? Can I ask you a question? If you spent years practicing, Kim, you're in the process of becoming a fine pianist. You have, my wife says you have the, I don't know what she calls it, the touch. I'm touched in the head. She says you have the touch. You have musical ability. I know where it didn't come from, but I don't know where it came from, but you have it. By the way, 10 years from now, you're going to keep working. You're going to be a beautiful pianist. You're going to be able to help in churches. You're going to be able to play for yourself. You're going to be able to do whatever. When somebody says that was beautiful, you should say thank you. And I can say this, and I mean this. You can say thanks to God because he gave you the ability. I don't have the hearing for that or the touch. But you also are going to be working for years to get there, yes? This. By the way, you ever, they call it a humble brag. We got a country, oh no, I'm really not that good. I'm not very, don't tell me how wonderful, oh come on. Some people are good at things. Some people aren't. Let's look at the third point. We have to look at Romans 12, verse 3 again, please. Because this is actually Christianity. This is not just some silliness. So, are you getting better at being better than others? Well, certainly not better than them as a person. Probably better at some things, yes. Rashida back here is pretty smart. I'm assuming she's better at statistics than most people are because that's kind of where her education lies. I just assume that she's very good at that. But now we come to the root of all of this, friend. Romans 12:3. Notice the statements of Scripture. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Here's my third point. Absolutely better because of Christ. Everything we have comes from Christ, which removes your ability to brag, but it recognizes that you do have abilities. So Paul's talking about according to the grace given unto me. To everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as, here we are again, as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. You keep hearing gifts, given, grace, differing. So friends, whatever we are better, absolutely better, because of Christ. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that taught all salvation is of the Lord. But his gifting, his abilities. Friend, there's a lot of arrogance in the world. People are arrogant. You say, Pastor Warren, I'm a smart person. Look up here. God can remove your smartness instantaneously. You say, I'm an athletic person. By the way, no criticism here. Everybody knows I love this guy. I was there when Linda called me. And I had to go to the hospital and find my buddy Ade suffering from a stroke. You don't know what that did to me because here's the problem. Everybody look at me. Ade was athletic. He was in great shape. He loved, I don't know, do you call it football or soccer? Football, of course. I mean, here's a guy, in whatever reason, never really found out. God allowed him to have a stroke. Now, he's recovered mostly. Still good looking, but hey, don't you dare think that you're special. Everything you and I have is because of Christ. So the whole text keeps repeating. Gifts, given, grace, differing. So yes, I'm different than an unsaved person. Why? Because of Christ. I'm different than some other people because of Christ. Everything is given. Do you have children? Look at me, please. Do you have children? Are your children the same? Why is one child born sweet and one child not so sweet? Why is one child born, and does it sometimes is birth order, sometimes, why is one child born bossy? I was yesterday looking at one of the granddaughter's daughter. And I'm like, she has a carbon copy of herself. And I remember how bossy she was when she was a kid. And her sister was bossing her brother or children, her family, and the other cousins around. Just born bossy. By the way, we're different because of Christ. He makes choices. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 4, please, verse 7. Can I ask you, do you think everything comes from Christ? I'm asking you, do you think so? Or do you think you have some choice in this? Friends, I love cultures. I love people. Do you know why? Because I didn't choose where I was born. They didn't choose where they were born. All of this stuff comes from ultimately the Lord's choices. The Lord chooses where you're born, the family you grow up in, the backgrounds you have, the opportunities you have, the limitations you have. He chooses all. He gives you a personality. When my son was born, and I love John, John from day one refused to do the simplest thing. Put his head on your shoulder. He would. Amy was born as a kid snuggly. She was a hugger. Why? I don't know. We're different. But that choice is made from Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. One of my favorite verses. It's a rhetorical question. For who maketh thee to differ from another? All right, so you're tall. Who made you tall? You're short. Who made you short? You have white skin. You have black skin. You have darker skin. You have lighter skin. Who makes those choices? For who maketh thee, Corinthians, to differ from someone else? God does, obviously. Then he asked the follow-up question, which is a pretty good question too, I think. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do you have that wasn't given to you? God makes you different, and everything about you comes ultimately from him. Wow. But then he asks the third question. So let's read the questions again. Who maketh thee to differ from, who makes you different from someone else? What do you have that you didn't receive? The answer is nothing. Now, if thou didst receive it. If when the day you were born or the day you were born again, God gifted you in various ways and you received those. If you did receive them, which you did, why dost thou glory or boast or brag as if thou hast not received? Why do you go around thinking, look at me, why do you go around thinking, I'm just special? Everything you have, everything I have, by the way, from salvation, birth, everything all the way up, comes from God. We have nothing. We have exactly one thing to boast about. Christ, God. We have nothing else. So if you happen to be handsome, I'm happy you're handsome. If you happen to be not so handsome, all of those choices were not made by you. Those are made by God. And we rejoice in Him. We don't rejoice in ourselves. Well, look how smart I am. Look how fast I am. By the way, use it to all of your ability. If God gives you ability, use it to your very best. But remember, you received it. Never boast, brag, or glory as if somehow you're special. No, it's a gift from God. And if God gave you the gift, one day He might take it away. Or frankly, it's still a gift. It's not your possession. It was something He gave you. It's always a gift. Paul says, Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory or boast or brag save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Let's look back at Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, please. Certainly not better than. Probably better at. And friends, in this room, there are people that are hospitable. The moment something happens, they're right there. They're sending flowers. They're sending notes. Some of this is a command for all of us, but some of it is also where some of us are better at things than others. So, yes, probably better at. Always, not always, absolutely better because of Christ. I want to look at verse 3 one more time, please. And verse 6. Verse 3 says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man or woman, every individual that is among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man or woman the measure of faith." Verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." There is a fourth concept that I will mention because it's helpful. Certainly not, when the person asked me, certainly not better than, I then thought at that moment, probably better at some things. Absolutely better because of Christ. And fourthly, maybe better in certain circumstances. Are you better in certain circumstances than other people? Let me ask you a question. You want to work in an emergency room. Are you good under pressure? Everybody look at me. Are you good under pressure? Some people are. Some people aren't. Some people thrive on pressure. When I was talking to our two lovely twins, love those girls, you know, they're sweet, smart like their parents, hard work, super diligent, perfectionistic. I don't really see either one of them working in high level intense jobs. They're excellent, excellent young ladies, but personalities different. Certain personalities do well under pressure, correct? You don't like it necessarily, but you know what I learned? If you're good under it, you have to work there because somebody has to do it. I'd rather work in places where I don't have pressure, but I drift to places with pressure. It's just a gift or a curse. Folks, some of us are better in certain places than others. I was thinking of Brenna, one of my favorite humans. Let's think of two people from the history of our church. Brenna Lex, Carrie Hall. Identical personalities. I remember meeting Scary Carrie in fifth grade or sixth grade, whatever it was when I came here. You didn't take you too long to realize Scary was pretty brilliant. And I pretty much knew, I didn't know exactly where, but I'm pretty much knew, yeah, this is a research kind of a person. She has a beautiful mind, discipline from her mother, brilliance, God-given the talent. But she also, frankly, to some degree, can do without people. Not forever, but I'm talking about, you know, she doesn't need to be shit. Brenna? Oh, does she walk? I wonder if she, Brian, does she wake up talking? Brian doesn't want to say. I love Brenna, but Brenna needs to be around. What? That's a God-given. By the way, friends, you have both abilities. That's the first piece. So you might be better at something for your abilities, but you also have this thing called personality and history that God gives you, which makes you sometimes better in certain circumstances or not as well in those particular circumstances. For me, I like people, but I do not like people 24/7. I'm kind of in between. All of this is true. Well, let me tell you a story that happened to me about 5 years ago in the Philippines. How do you remember things? We had the group like this. Right over here, about where Louie is seated and Marissa, is a pastor that comes every year to the conference. Louie, he is from Agusan, the mountains of Agusan, Del Sur. Now, if you know anything about the Philippines, if you're from the mountains, you probably know you're poor. He pastors there, he and his wife. Good folks. Every year when I go to Davao, they're seated in the same place. There's a group from Agusan that's over here. They're from mountain areas. We were in a teaching. He asked me a question. I don't remember his question, but here was his problem. Look at me, friend. He felt like he wasn't as successful as he needs to be. Kind of broke my heart. Here's a guy, by the way, living in poverty that no one in this room would want to ever, ever live in. I realized when I talked to Pastor Boy and some of those in those areas, none of those people have an indoor bathroom. None of them have a shower. They live and pasture in places that's like living in the woods. I mean, it's sad. But here's a man that loves his people, loves serving, loves witnessing, loves preaching the gospel. But he asked me something, and I could tell he was feeling a little bit down. And the Lord clicked something in my small brain. I'm looking at my brother, and I cannot remember his name. I can see his face. He was there this year. Great guy. I said, "Brother, let me ask you a question." I'm going to ask you the question right now, too. Everybody look up here. I'm going to ask you the question, too. I ask him a question. How many languages do you speak? When I asked him the question, he kind of did this. No, I said, "Just how many languages do you speak?" And he did something that no white person in this room would ever do. He raised his hand to count on his hand how many languages he speaks. All right, white people, how many do you speak? How many do you speak? Speak. One. And maybe some smatterings of something else. He raised his hand and he said, "Well, I speak, so, I think he said Visaya. I speak Ilongo, which is from Panay. I speak Tagalog." Then I said, "I think you speak English." He said, "Oh, yeah, English." He's speaking to me in English. He'd forgotten he speaks English. Then he says, "And I speak two mountain dialects." Here's a man more gifted than me, can do more than me in his whole lifetime than I would ever do. If I went to that place in Agusan today and spent all of my life, I might learn a language. He spoke six languages fluently and a couple of other mountain dialects. And he's wondering, "Can I ask you something? Do you understand you are not better than other people? And if you have things that are better, you're better at or you're better in, guess where you got it from? You got it from God." The arrogance and always looking at other people's arrogance is the arrogance because you think they think you're better than you. If you come to me, yes, I'm better than most people at certain things. In other areas, I'm clueless, and I acknowledge my cluelessness. Wow, that guy still humbles me. I've never seen somebody said, I mean, I would not use my hand. I would say, "English. I can read Greek, I can read Hebrew, know a little bit of Spanish enough to get in trouble, know funny words in Tagalog. Come on. It's embarrassing." So, let's read the list. Can you with me, please? Certainly not better than others. So we all agree. Can we say amen to that? Probably better at, because of God's gifting, at certain things. Absolutely better because of Christ. Number four, maybe better in certain circumstances, certain situations, because of our personality, our giftedness, our history, that sort of thing. Friends, if I needed somebody to bale hay, I love a bunch of you, but I'm not asking you to bale hay. If we wanted to play a softball game, I'm an old geezer, but I love some of you in this room. Some of you are much better athletes, but most of you don't know how to hit a ball. You grew up in different places. Now, Ade, you put me out there with the soccer field. Honestly, I never kicked a soccer ball in my life, never had the desire. I don't know the rules. I don't get the point. If it doesn't have a bat and a glove, I don't get it. I'm pretty sure you're better at that than me. And by the way, I concede that. Let's conclude this morning. Romans, let's look at Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. All of this comes from the text of Romans. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Paul, after he talks about don't think overestimate yourself, don't underestimate yourself, think soberly, think about what God has given you, think about his grace, think about his giftings. So he's telling us, you're probably better at some things. You're absolutely better because they were given to you from Christ. You're maybe better in certain circumstances. He puts these two verses, and he does a lot more of this in 1 Corinthians. "For as we have many members in one body, and are all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." In your notes, lastly, always, 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 better with God's people. All of God's people. You will always be a better person working with God's people than you will be in any other circumstance. Simply stated, We are a body. If you're a part of our church, you're part of this body. Every part of the body is significant. And every part of the body connects to every other part of the body. No parts can be missing. It's just the way it is. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anything on your body besides of weight that you'd like to get rid of? Jenny, about a week before I went to the Philippines, I don't know what happened. I think I know it was Jennifer Kowak. Might not have been. She has done evil things before. She had put some bacteria in my surgery, so I had the privilege of going back into the hospital after surgery. I know it was her. All I know is I had a pain. By the way, you ever have a pain in a weird spot? Not in my back, right here under my rib. It felt like somebody took a very sharp knife and pushed it in. And it happened 3 or 4 days from the Philippines. And my wife's comment was, what all women do to you? You should go do what? Am I going to see a doctor? No, because I don't have time. And I'm going to the Philippines. And she says, what are you going to do when you're in pain? I'm going to the Philippines because I have something God wants me to do and I've got to do it. But it felt like somebody had taken a knife and put it in right under my rib. So you say, how did you do in the Philippines? Well, I went to the Philippines. I flew over. It was okay. My first place in Manila, it was tough. For 2 days in the Bicol region, I couldn't, to roll over in bed. Not only, it felt like this. A long knife was sticking in there and somebody was hammering it. And then all of a sudden, it disappeared. Can I tell you something? The next time you're feeling arrogant, look at me. I'm speaking to you. The next time you're feeling arrogant, just remember something. We can't do without you. You can't do without us. We're part of a body. You pull something out, it causes tremendous pain. My son-in-law back here, he's a pretty good guy most of the time, better father than I ever was. He has... Thank you, Amy. God bless you. At least I was talking about him and not you. He's done something to his foot. You say, what has he done? Well, he had to kick somebody in his house on a regular basis. I won't mention her name. By the way, does it cause you problems, Jared? Causes you problems doing what? Just one thing or everything? Have you ever noticed if you have one little pain, it causes your whole body problems? So, folks, here is Pastor Warren's meditation for you. It's this simple. Do you think you're better than someone else? Probably. Here is the solution. The scripture and coming to grasp this. You're probably better at some things than other people. Yes. God-given gifts, training, ability. You're always better, absolutely better because of Christ, because that's where you get your gift. By the way, salvation's of the Lord and everything else. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights. Yes, you might even be better in certain circumstances or situations. If we have a situation that we need mentoring, I'm going to bring Duncan in because he likes that kind of things and is good at it. Of course, we're better in certain circumstances, personality. But friends, we are always better if we stop looking down at people and start looking across at people saying, you're part of me. So if you're hurting, guess who else is hurting? Who else is hurting? I'm hurting. If you hurt, I hurt. If I hurt, you hurt. We all have to. It's just biblical teaching, friends. So sorry, if you come into this church thinking you're arrogant or your arrogance shows up the other way, I'm a zero, both of those hurts the body. We need to come to grips with God has given you abilities, rejoice in them, use them to the glory of God. See all people working together. It's right here in the text. Pastor Kowak has several problems. He has a very bad boss. He has an evil wife. He has a very sweet daughter, though. But I'm being funny, but I'm not. But I'm assuming you know Pastor Kowak has some kind of a genetic problem that causes his nosebleeds. And if you don't think this doesn't, does it affect everything you do? sleeping, walking, running, speaking in public. Sometimes he'll disappear because his nose just uncontrollably bleeds because of a genetic problem. Can I say this to you? One person in this room can be like a knife to the rest of the body. We always are better with all of us. It's a biblical teaching. Father, thank you for your word. I could not preach anything more confrontational, but I did it in a way because we're all here. We have to come to grips with reality. We are important. We're not all important, but we're important because of you. You are the one who has given us all things. May we rejoice in you. May we honor the abilities of others. And may it always be rejoicing in you, rejoicing in your gifts and abilities that you have given us, and rejoicing in the whole body, making sure the whole body is healthy. This we ask in Christ's name.